Welcome to the PDP Podcast, brought to you by Professional Dairy Producers, dairy's professional development organization.
Hello, all of you who have listened to this podcast today. Very happy to talk with all of you. Today, I'd like to talk about the power of community. Community. We've had some tumultuous times here the last few months as we've prepared for national and local elections. I would tell you, at 73 years of age, I've had a number of tumultuous times in my life, as most of you have had in your own lives. So how do we get through it? Well, Thomas Friedman writes in his book, Thank You for Being Late, all of us need to learn to live in the eye of the hurricane. And he writes, the eye of the hurricane moves along with the storm. It draws energy from it while creating a sanctuary of stability inside. It is both dynamic and stable, and so must we be. We can't escape these accelerations. We have to dive into them, take advantage of their energies and flows where possible, move with them, use them to learn faster, smarter, and collaborate deeper, all so we can build our own eyes to anchor and propel ourselves and our families confidently forward. To live in the eye of the hurricane, which is still and quiet and stable. And then he writes this. The closest analog for the eye of the hurricane I can think of is a healthy community. When people feel embedded in a community, they feel protected, respected, and connected. And that feeling is more important than ever because when people feel protected, respected, and connected in a healthy community, it generates enormous trust. And when there's more trust in your own people, are much more likely to grow. When people trust each other, they can be much more adaptable and open to all forms of pluralism. When people trust each other, they think long-term. When there is trust in the room, people are more inclined to collaborate and experiment, to open themselves up to others, new ideas and novel approaches, and to extending the golden rule. They also don't waste energy investigating every mistake. They feel free to fail and try again and fail again and try again. Communities are those places where we belong. Those places where we feel protected, respected, and connected. John Dewey, one of the great American philosophers, writes this, there is more than a verbal tie between the words common, community, and communication. Try the experiment of communicating with fullness and accuracy, some experience to another, especially if it's somewhat complicated, and you will find your own attitude towards your experience changing. Paul VI said this, dialogue is a contemporary form of charity. That means that if we love each other, we'll talk with each other. We'll include each other in conversations. We will come together with each other for a common good. How important and significant that is. We all have the power to bring people together into community. One of the opposites of community is loneliness, where people feel isolated, alienated, not noticed or recognized. The power of community in our life cannot be overstated. And we all belong to two different communities. One is our primary community, all those people who love us unconditionally and would tell us if they could. This community would be family and a few friends. It is a transcendent community not limited by time or space. Death does not end the relationship. So you think about all the people that love you unconditionally and would tell you if they could. Oftentimes they can become grandparents or relatives, our own parents who have passed on. And we begin to recognize that their love has never wavered, is still with us. My grandmother was a single-parent businesswoman in the midst of the Great Depression. She raised five children by herself, you know, living in a small apartment where she ran her beauty shop. She'd get up in the morning, give her the oldest four over to the care of the 11-year-old, my Uncle Dale, and then she'd take her baby to the shop and begin cutting hair. At 10 o'clock, a friend brought her twins over for her to nurse because my grandma's friend was too ill to nurse her own baby. So grandma nursed three babies at 10, at noon, at 3, and at 5. She did this not only as a friend, but as a member of a community. These were children that needed to be fed and nurtured. And she found it within herself, the capacity to reach out and to share what she had, her very lifeblood, with another person's children. How extraordinary this is. And we know that there are people like this in our lives who have this great capacity. I had a wonderful relationship with my grandmother. I would write to her because she would write back. And I wrote to her for my whole life. And the last time I saw my grandma, one of her eyes was closed because of cancer. She had brain cancer. She was a beautician. I cannot even imagine the number of chemicals that she might have inhaled over a lifetime, giving those permanence to other people. And I said, "Grandma, how are you?" She said, "I'm fine. I still have one good eye so I can read my prayer book." That's the kind of woman she was. No matter how difficult things got, she found it within herself a strength to look for what was possible. That's what community is. It gives us an opportunity, a sense of hope that we're not alone. When my grandma died, about 6 months after her death, I received a shoebox in the mail from my aunt, who had been going through my grandmother's things and found this shoebox. And when she opened it up, it contained every letter I had sent my grandmother. It was like my life has been returned to me. From the time that I could print, the time that I wrote in cursive, to the last letter I wrote to her about death. My grandmother kept every letter. She loved me unconditionally. When I walk into uncertain situations, when I have to speak before large groups, when I feel just a little bit anxious and all alone, I remember that that good woman, my grandmother Florence, stands right next to me, and I draw on her strength. The second community that we belong to is a secondary community. For all those people we are with at any given time and place. We live in the company of strangers, building our communal lives together. This community is eminent and bounded by time and space. It's all the people we are with at any particular time. A healthy, supportive, secondary community. Today, we realize that many people do not have very strong primary communities. I think as we move into the holidays, what's most painful is the people who will eat Thanksgiving dinner alone. The people who spend Christmas Eve watching a television show while their family has not gathered. So many people who lack a primary community. I think of the number of people that are widows or widowers and their children have moved away. When does their primary community gather? I think of the number of children who live in foster care, whose primary community was not able to take care of them, and so they are being raised by another family, a secondary community. All of us, when we go to work each and every day, are part of a secondary community, a group of people that we are bounded by time and space. What is it we can do each and every day to create a healthy, welcoming, nurturing secondary community? I'm involved in a community in La Crosse called the Place of Grace. For 27 years, we have this little house where we serve a community meal every Thursday night. We have a food pantry on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I would tell you there's a number of people that are hungry, trying to make ends meet, choosing between gas or groceries. And of course, they need gas to get to work, and so we're able to help them with groceries wherever we can. And this community is rather special because we gather together with each other, no judgment, no criticism, acceptance of each other. All of us know that in some way we've had some hard traveling. We're bonded together. One of our key members, yesterday I found out, he died. He died in his sleep. The last words I heard from my friend after I dropped him off after a dinner is, "Brother, I love you." Isn't that wonderful? I belong to a secondary community where a man who's a stranger to me, we gather for a meal once every week, and I give him a ride home, and in a very simple and direct and sincere way, he tells me he loves me. I'm feeling a loss today because a member of our community is gone. A member who presence I depended upon because of his goodness and his joy, his indomitable hope. Well, we all have people like that in our lives, people who are members of our community. Tolstoy said, "Community is where we gather shoulder to shoulder, and how do we broaden the circle? How do we make other people feel like they are a part of our community?" And you begin to recognize that our lives are made up by members of our community that we don't oftentimes recognize. In a new book called 1,000 Thank Yous, the author has a cup of coffee one morning and begins to realize all the people whose work went into making this cup of coffee. And the author sets out on a journey in order to thank everyone who made his morning cup of coffee possible. From the barista, the people who work at the waste treatment plant that provided the clean water, the suppliers who brought the beans to the coffee shop, to the people who created the machines that were able to break the beans down and make it brewable, to all those people who produced the paper and the plastic products that made that cup possible. He ends up going then to the farm that produced the coffee beans in South America, thanking the people for all their good hard work. And for one cup of coffee, he realized that was built on 1,000 thank yous. All those people who are members of our secondary community who provide the services that we have each and every day. Having read that book and having talked with others, I'm really kind of convinced that what I need to do now is go and find the farmers who produce the cheese, who produce the milk, who produce the cream, all those bedrocks of a good Wisconsin diet that we enjoy each and every day. And I need to meet the farmers. I need to meet the people who milk their cows. I need to meet the truck drivers who bring those products to the market. I need to meet the farmer who sits on a tractor for long hours in a hot sun making sure that the fields are cultivated. I need to find the people who plant the seeds that grow the corn that feed the cows each and every day. I need to find the owners of that farm, the sacrifices that they make to hire others to produce the food that I enjoy. I need to meet the cheesemakers. I need to meet the people that are pasteurizing the milk. I need to meet the people who, unknowns to me, are making sure that I have a safe, affordable product each and every day to eat, to share, to enjoy. Community. The first duty of a human being is to assume our rightful function and relationship to society more briefly, to find our real job and do it. Community, Frederick Buechner says, for the life I touch for good or ill will touch another life, and that in turn another, until who knows where the trembling stops or how far place my touch will be felt. We have no idea how each every act of kindness helps to build up the community. That's what gives me hope. But I cannot participate in that kind of community unless I'm willing to live in the eye of the hurricane, to be still, to be quiet, to be stable, to be generous. We can begin by doing small things at the local level, like planting community gardens or looking out for our neighbors. That is how change takes place in living systems, not from above, but from within, from many local actions occurring simultaneously. So today, nurture 1,000 thank yous. Nurture a sense of gratitude for all those people who contribute to the common good, people that you've never met or may never meet, whose good work makes our life possible. Be grateful for the people that brought you into the world and have nurtured you for a lifetime. Remember your parents and your grandparents, uncles and aunts, all those people who love you unconditionally and would tell you if they could. And for those who do not have strong primary communities, let us build healthy secondary communities where everyone feels seen and heard, respected, protected, and connected. It's a great gift we give to each other. It's a great gift we give to ourselves. Thank you so very much for listening. As always, good talking to you. Hope that you're well. May we enjoy each other's company today.
Our thanks to Tom Thibodeau for today's message. Tom, a distinguished professor of servant leadership at Viterbo University. And for archive podcasts and more on-demand programs, and for more on the professional development for today's dairy producer, head to PDPW's free website at pdpw.org. Until next time, Have a safe and productive week.